Mozambique is on a knife edge on the eve of the inauguration of President-elect Frelimo's Daniel Chapo. We get the latest on the security situation there from Tashias Jacobs, Focus Group's head analyst for Mozambique and East Africa. Welcome, Tashias.
Thank you for having me.
What can you tell us?
So unrest persists. End of last year, we sent out an advisory to our clients and also sent out this advisory to the public. We made it available on our platforms to holidaymakers, essentially, to stay away from Mozambique, just, you know, for the interim while things are a bit volatile over there. Not everybody received this message, and there has been people going on holiday in Mozambique, and recently we've seen people from certain threatened locations having been relocated by the tourist industry in Mozambique to safer areas, people being disrupted because of the unrest and the protest action. This protest action has persisted. The Constitutional Council has validated the election results, which flared up a lot more unrest. And in the midst of this, over the past week, Mondlane has returned to Mozambique to, you know, take the fight further in country. He has landed safely and is currently in country. And while he is there, the protest action and the unrest is persisting. And to a large extent, it is looking like the population have gained their own momentum, and to some extent are kind of, I won't say they are controlling the protest, but a lot of it is flaring up sort of naturally, rather than Mondlane having to call for action every week. The last time he actually called for specific action was around, or with the phase process at least, was last year before the Constitutional Council validated the results. He has been calling for some strikes and unrest, not unrest, but just some demonstrations over the past week. But he emphasizes no destruction of property, no violence of any sort. But nevertheless, we do see violence. We do see the unrest spiraling. And at times teetering the line of rioting. And this persists. It varies across the country, but it's still there. And if it flares up, there's always the risk of things getting a bit out of hand. And like I said, when we last spoke, you know, this can go on indefinitely. And it is a big question as to where this is going and what results we might see in the short to medium term.
How many people have been killed over the past 3 months?
That is a good question. The numbers have been escalating, and I think actual casualties directly related to the civil unrest has gone over 1,000. I might be wrong here. I've been slightly out of the loop, but the last time I checked, I think it was around that area. But aside from the deaths itself, I think something that we might not always see is, you know, they say deaths, and the tracking of this is done by, you know, one organization, and how accurate that is always a question. So the deaths, injuries, and so on can be higher, but the more important issue is the repercussions on the people. I think the big thing we will see over the long term is the economic impact on the people, on the country, and then its economy, but also the wider region. So, the problem in Mozambique is when you talk about casualties, it almost has grown somewhat desensitized due to the conflict the country has been in over the years, and more recently the issue in Cabo Delgado. It is a very sad reality that people have become numbers. When you speak about displaced people, when you speak about casualties every week in Cabo Delgado, it's a sad reality. So with the unrest, it almost feels like, you know, nothing new when people die. Majin itself is a really sad topic, this thing.
Are the majority of the people who are fleeing going to Malawi, or are many of them coming to South Africa?
Yeah, so it depends. Fleeing, you might see tourists, you know, flee, but the people themselves, I won't say that fleeing is very prominent among the people. Conversely, it's actually interesting that the local nationals, essentially the electorate that are participating in this unrest, are much more confrontational than in previous elections. So in the past, there would be unrest, there would be a hard-handed response from the security forces, and then the situation would come under control. With this round, what we've seen is people have been going against the security forces. We've had multiple reports of civilians or protesters overwhelming the security forces and even seizing their weapons. Towards the end of last year, there was a campaign by the police to retrieve weapons lost during the unrest. So fleeing, I won't say that is very prominent. Perhaps, you know, some business people might stay away. And also with the holiday period, you might see business people, you know, going out of the country for holiday and then just waiting before they return. But I think fleeing is a bit of a loaded term in this specific context.
So it's more of a case of displacement.
Yeah.
Okay.
But even now, then, they would just move to areas that may not be as adversely affected. But I think in worst case scenarios, and the people that have the means to do this, they might flee to Malawi or South Africa, but it's not mass numbers. You know, the masses are more joining in and participating in the unrest.
Is there an estimate of the damage caused?
Yeah, so this is in the billions, the economic, and also there are multiple levels to this. So you have your, let's say, domestic level, and here already the local economic sector have reported billions of meticals lost due to the disrupted road network, especially the between the Komatipoort or Lebombo border and the Maputo port. And then elsewhere, we've seen unrest in Pemba, in Akala to some extent, and then very prominently in Ambane province, which is essentially the tourist hub for Mozambique. We've seen massive disruptions there, and the tourist sector is really battling with this unrest. And the timing of it is also very bad. So, aside from the disrupted logistics, they do have a dependency on tourism in certain provinces. And the timing of it within this festive period has had a massive effect on the tourist sector in the country. And this is the time they make the bulk of their money. But that's extremely detrimental. And in addition to that, the regional implications, South Africa uses the N4, which goes through Mozambique to the Maputo port, quite extensively for exports from northern South Africa. And here too, we are speaking about daily millions of rands being lost because of the disrupted logistics. So we've seen with this phase process, every time there's a bit of a lull, a bit of a break, the border will open and they will try to use this time to, as quickly as possible, get as much done. But the issue is still there. And as long as this issue of instability persists, you know, it compounds. And we may speak of millions or billions of rands or meticals now, but it can inflate to a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm. So the economic impact has been devastating.
Yes, definitely. And on a micro level, you will see some protesters engaging in looting. And this too has had a massive impact on your smaller business, your small to medium businesses. They too are facing a big impact on that. And again, on the medium to longer term, there's questions about how it will affect the lower and middle class of Mozambique. We've had people in country telling us that the grocery stores are empty. And there's become a massive issue for your lower and middle class people to get food. There again, quite interestingly, your lower class are more dependent on your informal market, you know, farming, subsistence farming, and then fishing and so on. According to what we know, these may not be as heavily affected because of, you know, the more day-to-day nature. And they do not rely on a grocery store. They have markets, and whenever these small markets resume, there is food available for them, and they're sort of used to this lifestyle. So we anticipate that implication to be a bit lower. But then again, on the medium to longer term, you know, for them, the disruption of the economy and the longer term effect will mean higher transport costs, for example, which will, you know, make their lives again more difficult. So I think from the micro level all the way up to the very macro level, things are just devastating.
Now, there are many South Africans living in Mozambique, farming, working there, running resorts. How have they been affected, to your personal knowledge, by the unrest?
Yeah, so we've had an influx of requests to focus group of people wanting information and any kind of security service that we provide. And to be honest, we've been more busy in Mozambique over the past 3 months than we've been the whole last year because of this unrest and this direct threat to economic interest in the country. We've had, assets being threatened. We have had people physically being threatened by protesters. So there are varying levels to the insecurity. From what we've seen, many, foreigners operating in South Africa, they have opted to remain in South Africa, but are trying to get as much information and security as they can, trying to secure supplies to essentially try and outlast this unrest. But again, it depends on the economic level. So how big their assets and interests in the country are, and how autonomous essentially some business people might prefer to stay with their assets, while others will rather be out of the country and ensure their own physical security, but then heavily rely on private security companies to do their best, essentially. I say do their best because there's only so much you can do against that mob mentality. And I think the best approach is just to be extremely well informed. And this is the main thing that we advocate for. It's better be informed and know what's coming than try and only bulk up your security. Because if you don't know what's come and plan accordingly and implement relevant mitigation measures, the impact is going to be a lot harsher than if you only build higher walls. Walls can be scaled, essentially. From expatriates in South Africa, if expatriates are more, inclined to be evacuated in times of heavy unrest, and we've seen that. But then again, it also depends on location. While there's massive unrest in southern to central Mozambique, and to some extent, Nampula and even Pemba City, your far north LNG operations may not be as harshly affected. And in these areas, it might continue. But again, it's also over the festive period, and some operations might take a break. And then it becomes less a question of evacuating people and more a question of when do we return.
Expats having their lives and assets threatened. How is that linked to post-election violence, or is there more to it?
Yeah, so I think there's a general sense where things start to spiral, you know, emotions take over, and it becomes a lot more subjective. In these kind of circumstances, it is possible for, I won't say full-fledged xenophobia, but that sentiment, that fear, to rear its head. And then you might see people targeting expatriates or other foreign companies. But it's sort of, you know, ancillary to the bigger issue and not necessarily an outright major threat. It's something that you do plan for and mitigate against. But I think South Africa has had a lot bigger issues with that kind of xenophobic sentiment than what we are seeing in Mozambique. I think the larger issue is just the general unrest, the violence that goes with it. And then your opportunists, there's always opportunists in this kind of, you know, chaos, looting, vandalizing. And this is a very real risk. This is what, we try to get everybody aware of, and especially to help our clients, guard against, or at least take mitigation measures, and make informed decisions to make take the best route forward. But I won't say yet that is a massive xenophobic sentiment just yet. It's more unrest, opportunists, and then just emotions that's taking over, essentially.
Mm. So has there been an influx of private security companies from South Africa?
Over the years, so Mozambique has been, you know, restless for a long time. From the civil war to the Renamo junta in central Mozambique, and then, you know, the whole Cabo Delgado thing. This means that over the years, there has been a sustained demand for private security and, you know, information services like ourselves in Mozambique. And we've been there for more than 20 years now. And it's because of this demand. And because of that, I won't say there's been a massive influx, but sort of a reactivation of all of this. We've been engaging with a lot of security companies, that they had to come to the front and make their stand, essentially, and show what they are worth. Ourselves, we are an information company, so we liaison with and provide the information that all of the surrounding documentation and plans on mitigation. Influx, so yeah, I won't say influx, but definitely an activation and very prominent operations, maybe expansion, definitely. The worse things get, the more investment you'll see and the more business you'll see in the security sector and in the information sector.
Now, what are you telling your clients at the moment? What are your future predictions?
Yeah, so at the moment, you know, we are still warning about the unrest. At this stage, the recent news is that, you know, Mondlane is still on the whole narrative of opposing the election results and the current government, the inauguration of the new president. All of this is still being opposed. And I think the really big issue here is Mondlane's future in the political sphere. Last year, we reiterated several times to our clients the question of where is Mondlane going if he does not become president? And this is a major issue because within Podemos, the party that supports him, it's not currently confirmed that he has any seat in the National Assembly. Which kind of questions where he might fit in the political landscape. If he does not become president, and has no seat in the National Assembly, essentially his voice may be a bit moot. And that's what we are looking out for. He may be fighting to keep some kind of voice, at this stage, but the larger narrative that we are working on is that there is a risk that the political stakeholders in Mozambique might simply want to systematically sideline Mondlane to the point where he kind of fades and is the drive and motivation he puts in the electorate might also fade. If that happens, it's sort of a, you know, a sad day for democracy, but for stability and peace in Mozambique, it will be beneficial. If and when that happens remains an open question. Podemos and Frelimo have, I think it was yesterday or the day before, taken their seats in the National Assembly. So that again raises the question, does Podemos approve of the election results? RENAMO and MDM, they have abstained from that inaugural or ceremonial process of taking seat in parliament. But our people in country are of the opinion that they may do so quietly over the next month or so. The future we see, short, medium, even long term, is that there's a probability of it just, you know, resuming the status quo and things calming down again and going back to how it was before this election. With Frelimo still in power, now with Podemos as the main opposition, that might be an interesting thing to see. It is worth reiterating that Podemos is a party made up of former Frelimo members. So that raises another question of can they be bought or convinced to do the bidding of Frelimo in the National Assembly. That is the one narrative, you know, the one possibility. The other one is simply that the unrest continues for a very long time. How long, that's, you know, crystal ball gazing, we are not sure. But I think there is very strong motivation for Mondlane personally to keep it going and to work out something. But even then, it's sort of a catch-22 for him, because if he compromises, he risks losing, you know, a lot of regard from his supporters, because it would appear as if he is giving up and giving over to, you know, the higher powers of Mozambique. So it is really a tricky one for him, and as to where he might want to go with this or his end objective, that is simply a case of us, you know, waiting to see. In the interim, we do suspect that expect that the unrest will continue, at least for the short term. And the sustainability of this unrest will also heavily rely on how the government reacts and the police react. A lot of the hard-handed response has actually fueled a lot of the more violent protesting that we have seen and the unrest. So if the government can bring under control the security forces and the harsh reactions, and if they are successful in sort of sidelining Mondlane, then over the medium term, we might see.
Thank you. That was Stasius Jacobs, Focus Group's head analyst for Mozambique.
But it remains to be seen
giving business how this will pan out and how long the security situation
keep this up
in Mozambique. I'm Christine. Thank you, Tashis.